I'll make a comment. I think during these periods, what you see, in answer to your question, as a business person, and I'm listening to people at you know, the uppermost levels in public companies, is many times what I've seen with people like that myself is isolation. I think the schools, I think the churches, you're out there on your own. And as Bill mentioned, you go to church and hopefully when you go and you listen to the sermon on Sunday, you develop that internal belief, that faith internally. But when you hit the road on Monday, it's isolation. It's you against the world. It's you against the company, the country. And I think the churches and the schools do a less than adequate job of grooming people, supporting people, and doing that. So in answer to that, I mean that's one of the reasons we're all here today, is how does Talbot start in doing that? How do the churches start doing that? Because I think we've all come to the conclusion here today is you look at, you know, John's career and some of these people that I know that are believers in some of the most prominent public and private companies in the country and the world. And I know that they very much feel like they're out there on their own island.
Yep.
What can be done?
Can I just add to that? To put it very practically, on a subject like profit. I'm waiting for the sermon, The Virtue of Profit, from a pastor. And I mentioned this to Dennis this morning, that as he mentioned the celebration of receiving the money for your new building, I hope every one of you tip your hat when you go in that building to the concept of profit. Because in the absence of capital, there would be no building. And the only way to get capital is profit. But have you ever thought that way? Have you ever introduced your students to that concept? Yes, it can be abused. Yes, it can be the subject of greed. But it is an essential element to the generation of capital. Without profit, there would be no taxes to be paid to the government. We wouldn't have governments. They'd ultimately go bankrupt, and we've seen some do that. So you know, it is there as a reality. And when was the last time you heard a sermon on what it means to be friends with unjust mammon on Luke 16? When was the last time you heard a sermon on it? I mean, that's in the Bible. I read it. I don't get, from my theologian friends, I don't get any input on that. It's those kinds of things. Rather than looking at me and me going in the way of oppression, yeah, they realize I've got a big pocketbook. But there's something more to me than my pocketbook.
I want to offer a suggestion for Doug and then hear John's answer to the question. If the pastor had come to you at your place of work, had you shown him around your office, took you to lunch, and then said, John, talk to me about what's going on, would that have reduced your isolation?
Yes, absolutely. It's measures like that. And I hear where you're going. You're trying to get to a solution. What is a solution? And I don't know ultimately what is a solution, but I think much of it actually starts in your classrooms right there. So it's supporting the pastor. Because you look at, in most of the churches, the pastors have reasonable relationships with key business people, for a variety of reasons. But, and then supporting them, guys like John, I'd be curious, you know, when he went through his lawsuit with the government and the SEC, just how much support there was. And when I say support, you know, it's just being there to support him, biblically, with his family, and things like that. And I'd be curious to see how much of a role the church takes during those times, when the market was imploding and everybody's concerned. I don't have the ultimate solution, and I don't know what all it is. But I do know part of the problem.
John, what would you have wanted during that time?
Well, I'll tell you actually what I did get, which I think maybe I misstated some of the things, because what I see in general, one of my dearest friends was my pastor at the church that I had in Florida. We were fortunate in the sense that we were fortunate to have a church plant from a bigger church. And when he started the local church where I was attending at the time, I was one of the laymen that went with him to start the church. And he and I were about the same age. We became best of friends. And me being a PK, right, also made it very easy for me to relate to him. And so when I was going through this process, he actually walked the journey with me, which I think was one of the most amazing things because, you know, from a, you have to remember being a PK, knowing that really, and I probably should be more driven by prophets, but my problem is I wasn't driven by prophets. That's, I really felt like this was my calling, so this is what I did. And sometimes you're worried more about trying to do the right thing. And I was more driven by my reputation more than anything else. I was more driven by success than profits, actually. And success meant significance because I thought that's what God has called me. I want to make sure I was doing the best job I could in what God had called me to do. So when this case came on, it was absolutely devastating to me, right? Because it wasn't my money they were after. It was my name and my reputation. And so the fact that the pastor of the church stood beside me and through that whole journey with me gave me the greatest degree of peace and confidence because you end up being a self-reflective mode, right? It's like, what did I do wrong? You know, how could I stop this? Because we all go through that process. And I came to the realization there was really nothing I could have done. But at the same time, having somebody who know you from the ministry side that can affirm that and walk through that journey with you is one of the most important things it could have. And so I think that's one of the things from a pastoral perspective, is that I think if pastors would walk in the steps of the congregation more. And
what does that look like? What did he do that you have labeled you walked with me through that?
I'd say, you know, some practical things. I mean, you know, Jeff and I, he would get together. We're always getting together once a week. We'd get together for breakfast and we catch up and in a truly fellowship, not as pastor and layman, but truly also as brothers in Christ. And I think that's one of the things that it's important for pastors to realize too, is that if we're truly all called into our vocations, right? Just because somebody's in the business community doesn't mean as a pastor, your job is to be one step above and try to minister and serve. You know, you all have different roles. It's like in business, you know, just because I'm the CEO doesn't mean the CFO is an important, the operations people aren't. Everybody's important. Everybody has to play a role, and it plays a different function. And so I think that sense of feeling like, because I think as CEOs, and Doug, you said the CEOs tend to feel like they're isolated. I think pastors feel the same way too, right? I mean, because they feel like they can't be part of the parish or part of the church because they can't show who they are to the rest of the congregation. To me, the fact that he and I were able to share a relationship, truly a friendship. That was very critical. And the fact that he publicly supported, because he knew me, he was able to publicly support me. And because as you could imagine, you know, you go from one day being the sort of the, I mean, you're the spotlight either way. You become the spotlight of good to being the spotlight where nobody wants to be next to you, right? And it has nothing to do, it's all perception. And so I think.
Support you to who?
To the church. Because church was my family, right? And, you know, unfortunately, just because we're a believer doesn't mean we behave any differently than unfortunately, a lot of the non-believers, right? And I had as many people, you know, during that time, you know, I mean, you go through the same issue. So I think the ability to relate and know, I think his public support and his willingness to spend time with me through that process. And that was an important part of the journey because I think, as Bill said, I mean, you know, I think we have to be very careful that we don't live in this world of prosperity doctrine, right? One thing I've learned through the journey is that, you know, our life is a journey. It's a journey, it's a walk with God. And he's there in the good times, he's there in the bad times. but it's really a focus of, and the world likes to take it as, well, if you're doing good, you must be doing really spiritual, and you're blessed, and you're doing well. And when you're going through challenging times, well, you know, what's the sin in your life, you know? It doesn't work that way, right? But the world likes to think of it that way. And so I think the more we can get away from that, the better we are.
Let me make just one comment to add to that. You're trying to get to the how and what to do. I'll give you an example right now. One key thing. I have a client who's a CFO of a fairly large company right now, and this is going on as we speak. And he's going through some issues in his company, some of which have to do with, you know, the time balance. The company's looking for him to spend literally 70 to 80 hours a week. He's a believer, and so he's having issues at home. He can't provide that balance. So he'll call me, and literally last week he called me and trying to mentor other believers, mentoring other people in that. But also is I let him know, this guy's on my prayer list. I'm praying for him daily. He called me one day last week, and he was going through, and he says, Doug, I could be going home at 3 o'clock today and be out of a job because he's banging heads with the CEO. And we just prayed over the phone. I just prayed for him. You know, and so it's that support, the mentoring, and something maybe as simple as whether, as John said, whether it's a time of feast or whether it's a time of famine, the highs and the lows is just the mentoring and letting people like that know that, you know, you're there to support them and you're praying for them.